Radio.
Meditations by Father John Vlada.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Lord, once again we come to pray, to listen to you, to converse with you in that loving conversation that is meditation, mental prayer. And today we pray about the great sacrament of mercy, this sacrament that you gave us on Easter Sunday. 2 days after dying on the cross, you appeared in the upper room, and you said to the apostles, after breathing on them, "Receive the Holy Spirit, whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven them. Whose sins you shall retain, they are retained." You gave us that sacrament for the forgiveness of our sins that we all need. We are all sinners. We are all the prodigal son, and you give us that beautiful parable that we all love, of that young man that asks for the share of the inheritance that was his. He is tired of staying at home, thinking of a new life, a life of freedom. He will be on his own. He can do what he wants. He will find the happiness that he is seeking. Like so many of us, we all sin. And maybe at times we have wandered far from our spiritual home too. We have committed grave sins. We have stayed out in the spiritual wilderness, in the darkness, looking for happiness, looking for freedom, and in the end, not finding it there. And that young man, having spent all that he had in loose living, finds himself reduced to feeding swine, that unclean animal. And for a Jew, it would have been the lowest of the low. And moreover, he is hungry. The pigs have something to eat. He is hungry. And then he thinks of love in his father's house, where at least they have food, but also that companionship, that love. And he resolves to go back and tell his father in that true act of contrition, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants." He is sorry. He will tell his father that. He's willing to be taken back as a servant. And he makes his way. But perhaps as he is making his way, he is thinking, "What if my father doesn't want me? What if he bolts the door and closes the shutters and tells me this is no longer my home? I have disgraced the family name. Go away." That was a risk. But he goes, and Lord, you have given us this beautiful parable of the merciful father, we could call it. And you describe what the reaction of that father was. While he was yet at a distance, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." And the father doesn't even let him finish that plead, at least to be taken in as a hired servant. But the father said to his servants, "Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and make merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to make merry. What a welcome. The father doesn't greet him angrily. How could you have done this to this family? Rather, the embrace, the kiss, the welcome. And Lord, you are telling this to show us that this is the welcome that we will receive from our Father God, ever rich in mercy, when we return to him, especially through that sacrament of penance. We are all the prodigal son. We have all sinned many times, and perhaps there have been grievous sins too, mortal sins that cut us off from the love of the Father, that took away the state of grace, of the divine life within us, the indwelling of the Blessed Trinity. But then we came back, or we can come back, and receive that warm embrace. There's no hint of anger. It is only mercy. It is only joy that he has returned. And Lord, help us to return. No matter how many times we have sinned, you are always ready there to forgive us. Pope Francis, in his apostolic exhortation, Evangelii Gaudium, says some words that he prefaces by, "Let me say this once more," because he had said it in the very first days after being elected Pope, "God never tires of forgiving us. We are the ones who tire of seeking his mercy." Christ, who told us to forgive one another 70 times 7, has given us his example. He has forgiven us 70 times 7. And Lord, help us to hear those words, that we never tire of asking God to forgive us. He never tires of forgiving us. Lord, you have given us this great sacrament of mercy so that we can be forgiven and we can hear the words of forgiveness. People sometimes ask the question, "But why, Lord, did you make it so difficult for us? Why did you give us a sacrament, an outward sign, so that we had to go to a priest and confess our sins? Why couldn't we just confess directly to God? It would be so much easier." It is easier, and we should confess directly to God. Every time we sin, and even when we haven't sinned, we should say the act of contrition, an act of sorrow. And we say that directly to God. And God hears us, and he forgives us. But we don't hear that we are forgiven. And we might be wondering, "Am I truly sorry? Am I truly resolved to try hard not to commit that sin again?" And we ask God to forgive us, but we don't know whether he has forgiven us. When we say the act of contrition, all we hear is silence. And perhaps we would say, "But Lord, if I were you, I would forgive me. You do forgive me, don't you?" Silence. And therefore, Lord, you gave us a sacrament, an outward sign, because we are bodily creatures, with a body as well as a soul, and we want to know through our senses that we are receiving the grace of each sacrament. And in this case, to hear that we are forgiven. St. John Paul II, in a Wednesday audience in 1984, addressed that question of why we need to go through a priest. He says, "It is well to consider that despite the feeling of discomfort that ecclesial mediation can cause, that is to say, the mediation of a priest, it is a very human method, so that the God who frees us from our sins does not fade into a far-off abstraction, which would, in the end, become a colorless, irritating, and despairing image of ourselves. God is not out there, and we can't hear him. And then he becomes a colorless, irritating, and despairing image of ourselves. That we would forgive ourselves, therefore God should forgive us. And Pope John Paul II goes on, through the mediation of the Church's minister, this God makes himself very close to us in the concrete reality of a heart that is indeed pardoned. Lord, you come close to us. We hear you with our ears. And those words that you said to the apostles in the upper room on Easter Sunday, whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven them. Come to our mind. We have just heard the words of forgiveness of the priest, and those sins are forgiven. What is loosed on earth is loosed in heaven. And what a relief. We are indeed forgiven. Lord, help us to make abundant use of this great sacrament of mercy. When we go to confession, we receive so many benefits. Let us consider 10 benefits of confession. First, the absolution of our sins. And we hear that absolution. I absolve you from your sins. And what was red as scarlet becomes as white as snow, as we read in the Old Testament. We are forgiven. A weight is lifted. Secondly, we receive sanctifying grace, the grace that sanctifies, that makes us holy, a sharing in your life, the indwelling of the Blessed Trinity in our soul, to become children of God, heirs of heaven. What a great help that is in our spiritual life. And let us never forget, we are called to holiness, not to mediocrity, to holiness, to be saints. We should take advantage of every opportunity to receive sanctifying grace, and we receive it in the sacrament of penance. Third, we receive the sacramental grace of the sacrament of penance, which is the help we will need to avoid falling again into these sins that we have just confessed. It doesn't mean we won't commit them again, but that we are given special help to avoid falling. And I think we all have the experience that when we have gone to confession, and let us say we have confessed our impatience, our anger, our gluttony, whatever, that after confession, we find it much easier to struggle in those areas. For some days, at least, we do better due to that great help of the specific sacramental grace proper to this sacrament. Fourth, with the forgiveness of our sins and that influx of grace, we have a new beginning in our spiritual struggle. We can start over. There is a clean beginning because we have been forgiven. If we think of those who do not have this sacrament, non-Catholics, non-Christians, they sin too. They may tell God they're sorry, and then they sin again, and they tell him they're sorry again, and this over and over again. And in the end, it would be so easy for them simply to give up. What's the use? I can tell God I'm sorry, and I keep falling. They don't start over. There's no precise moment when they can do that. We have that moment in the sacrament of penance. When our sins are forgiven and we receive all that grace, we can begin again with our soul clean and the desire to keep it clean. Fifth, the priest generally will say some words of encouragement, of advice, how to avoid falling in those sins, to encourage us if we're perhaps discouraged because we have fallen so often in this sin. And that advice, that spiritual direction, is very helpful in our spiritual growth. Sixth, by the very fact of examining our conscience before we go to confession, we get to know ourselves. And many people really don't know themselves. They don't know their weaknesses. We do, because we have to examine ourselves. And we have to confess our weaknesses. And then we can struggle in those areas. That self-knowledge is very valuable, again, in our spiritual growth. Seventh, we grow in the virtues of humility and sincerity. Humility and sincerity, because it can be difficult to confess our sins to a fellow man. We say, how can I confess this? What will he think of me? Saint Jose Maria had some very wise advice when we are tempted to think like that. He says, the devil takes away our shame so that we commit the sin, and then he gives it back so that we don't confess it. How foolish we are if we fall into the trap of the father of lies. And Lord, grant us the sense of shame so that we don't commit the sin. We're ashamed to commit the sin. We're ashamed to offend you, our friend, our Redeemer, our God. And we're not ashamed at all to confess the sin to whomever. And when we think, but what will he think of me? I generally tell people if they say that, I personally as a priest am only edified when someone comes with bigger sins or more sins, and I realize how hard it is for that person to say what they are saying. I am edified, and I think how good she is, how good he is to be able to say that. And when it costs us more to say it, there is that great relief once we have said it. We are freed, especially when the priest gives us absolution. We grow greatly in these important virtues of humility and sincerity by the very fact of going to confession. Eighth, the priest asks us to do some penance. It might be very little, to say a few prayers, to do some simple thing when we get home. But it helps to make up, at least in part, for the temporal punishment owing for our sins. And we know that every sin we commit requires that we do something to make up to God and to the mystical body, the Church, for the harm that we have caused. We could never make up adequately, perfectly, in justice, for any sin against God, even the slightest venial sin. But, Lord, you don't expect us to do that. But you do ask that we do something. And if we haven't done it here, we will do it in purgatory, and we would rather not go to purgatory. So that the very fact of going to confession brings about the little penance that we will do afterwards, which helps to reduce our time in purgatory and make up more quickly for that temporal punishment. Ninth, confession often brings about a great healing of the soul. We sometimes go into the confessional burdened by guilt, by anger, perhaps even hatred, desire of revenge, sadness, even depression. We are overwhelmed by the weight of our sins. We go to confession. We get that load off our chest. We are forgiven. And so often we are healed. There is no longer that sense of guilt. We have been forgiven. There is no longer that anger because we confessed the anger or the hatred or the desire of revenge. And even the sadness can disappear. This does not mean that confession is the answer to all mental conditions. It is not. But the priest knows when he has to refer someone to a professional. And so often simply going to confession is a great help towards that spiritual wholeness, that spiritual health, that holiness. And tenth, as the fruit of all these other benefits, we receive that great joy, that great sense of peace. I am forgiven. I am clean once again. What a great blessing this sacrament of mercy is. And Lord, you gave it, as we said, on the very eve of your resurrection, as it were the first fruits of your death and resurrection. You wanted the Church now to have the means of applying to individual souls the fruits, the benefit of your death on the cross. You died that all might be saved and sins would be forgiven, but we need to have them forgiven individually. and we do that through the sacrament of penance. Lord, help us to come to two resolutions. First, to go regularly to this sacrament ourselves. How often is regularly? If we are going once or twice a year, or if we haven't been for many years, to go perhaps monthly. It would be a great renewal of our spiritual struggle, that influx of grace and all of those other benefits received more often if we went every month. And if we are going every month, we could consider going more often, every 2 weeks, every week. It is a great help. And some people may think, but that's not the mind of the church. That we go every week, that we go with our laundry list, our shopping list of little sins that we come with every week. What is the mind of the church? Let us listen to St. John Paul II. In an address to priests hearing confessions in the Roman basilicas in Lent in 1981, he said this: "The sphere of the use of the sacrament of reconciliation cannot be reduced to the mere hypothesis of grave sins. Apart from the considerations of a dogmatic character that could be made in this connection, we recall that confession periodically renewed, the so-called confession of devotion, has always accompanied the ascent to holiness in the Church." That very confession of devotion, that periodically renewed confession, weekly if we can, has always accompanied the ascent to holiness. The saints went regularly to confession. St. John the 23rd says in his autobiography that he went every week. St. Jose Maria said the same, and he did the same, and sometimes he said he would go two or three times a week. Because of the great love for God that the saints had, they were eager to go back to God to confess their little sins and know that they were forgiven. And so frequent confession, with all of the benefits, all of the graces that it gives us, assists us greatly on the way to holiness. But also holiness, as we have seen in the example of the saints, leads back to frequent confession. And so we grow more and more in grace, more and more in holiness. And Pope Francis, in the book, The Name of God is Mercy, the interview with the journalist Andrea Tornielli, when asked, "What are the most important things that a believer should do during the Holy Year of Mercy?" answered, "He should open up to the mercy of God. Open up his heart and himself and allow Jesus to come toward him by approaching the confessional with faith. And he should try and be merciful with others." The first answer, what is the most important thing that someone should do in the Holy Year of Mercy? And the Pope answers, open up to the mercy of God. Go to confession. And Lord, help us to go in this year of mercy. Help us to go often. Help us to go throughout our life. And then in the Bull of Indiction for the Holy Year of Mercy, Misericordiae Vultus, the Pope says, "Let us place the sacrament of reconciliation at the center once more, in such a way that it will enable people to touch the grandeur of God's mercy with their own hands. For every penitent, it will be a source of true interior peace." And again, he exhorts the faithful to take advantage of this year of mercy, to go to the sacrament of reconciliation, where, as he says, we touch the grandeur of God's mercy. We touch it with our senses, with our hands, but with our ears. We hear that we are forgiven, and it is truly, as the Pope says, a source of true interior peace. And our second resolution, to help others to go to this sacrament. we all know so many people who have not been for years, and others that go very seldom, and they don't know the benefits of this sacrament. So often it is simply ignorance, or ignorance of their sins. Pope Pius XII said that the greatest sin of the 20th century was the loss of the sense of sin. And John Paul II added, "And the reason for the loss of the sense of sin is the loss of the sense of God." And people really don't know God. They don't know what is right and wrong. They don't know the value of the sacraments, the value of this sacrament of reconciliation, of penance. And they don't go. If someone enters their life, and that has to be each one of us, Lord, help us to know those people around us that have not been to confession, to help them, to pray for them in the first place, to offer up some little mortification, some little penance, some act of self-denial for them, then to speak with them, perhaps to give them a little booklet, an article, invite them to our church, invite them in the end to confession. Tell them, "I'll go with you." And we explain beforehand what the rite of penance is, so that they're not going to be surprised if they haven't been there for many years. We can help them to examine their conscience. There are many printed examinations of conscience, so that they are well prepared. And then it will take courage, so we pray for them, and we go with them. And perhaps we go into the confessional first, and we explain to the priest, "Father, I'm going to make my own confession, but after me, there is someone coming who hasn't been for a long time. Please help him. Be that merciful Father so that he will want to come back. Don't be too hard on him." And we don't have to tell priests that. They know. They know that they have to be kind and merciful like the Father, especially when someone is coming back after a long time. The Curie of ours, in his inimitable way, gives us a very graphic way for explaining why we should go to confession. He says in his catechesis on that sacrament, "My children, we cannot comprehend the goodness of God towards us in instituting this great sacrament of penance. If we had had a favor to ask of our Lord, we should never have thought of asking him that. But he foresaw our frailty and our inconstancy in well-doing, and his love induced him to do what we should not have dared to ask. If one said to those poor lost souls that have been so long in hell, 'We are going to place a priest at the gate of hell,' all those who wish to confess have only to go out. Do you think, my children, that a single one would remain? The most guilty would not be afraid of telling their sins, nor even of telling them before all the world. Oh, how soon hell would be a desert, and how heaven would be populated. Well, we have the time and the means which those poor souls have not. And they might be lamenting in hell, 'If I had only gone to confession when I had that opportunity.' Lord, help us to help our friends, our relatives, to have that opportunity. And we encourage them to go, and we go with them. And if they go to confession, we will see the joy, and we can go out and celebrate afterwards, as the prodigal son is fated by his father, and they make merry." And we go to Our Lady as we finish our prayer. "Mary, Mother of Mercy, you were there at Calvary when Jesus suffered and died, and you suffered in your heart what he suffered in his body. You suffered that all might be saved, that sins would be forgiven. You are truly Mother of Mercy. Help me to value this great sacrament of mercy. Help me to go regularly to receive all the benefits that it offers, and help me to be successful in bringing others to this great sacrament of joy. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this time of prayer. I ask your assistance in putting them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.
For more from Father Flada, visit fatherfladablog.com. And for more talks, interviews and shows, visit cradio.org.au.